Hi, and thank you for downloading this podcast from Millpool Hill Church. Today, we're going to be looking at the breath of God. Recently, I've been running. I'm doing the couch to 5K, and I'm getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to run around the local park. You ask, why are you getting up so early? Well, it's because I don't want people seeing me huffing and puffing and panting and wheezing as I'm attempting to go from 0 to 5K. It's hard work, to be honest, and it aches, and it's also just tough. I think running for me is hard because I'm struggling to get my breathing regulated. And it seems to me, the more I Google running, many people talk about getting your breath, regulating your breath. If you can get your breath regulated, then it will be much easier. So, we need breath. The hymn writer wrote a hymn saying, "This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me." We need the breath of God to breathe into us. Ezekiel was a priest. He was a prophet living in exile in the city of Babylon between 593 and 571 years BC. Ezekiel had many visions. He saw things that other people didn't see, such as the glory of the Lord and the four living beasts. He also saw a vision of the living water of God flowing from the temple and flowing from the temple out into the community where people could be blessed by its life-giving water. He also saw a vision of a valley of dry bones. Ezekiel 37 tells us about this vision that he saw of a valley filled with dry bones. I'm going to read from verses 9 to 10. "Then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds, breathe into those dead bodies so they may live again.' So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army." Wow, the breath of God is so powerful. In fact, it's so powerful that God's breath gave life to the first man. The Bible tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when God created the world that we live in, he made all the beautiful things. And finally, he makes man. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we pick up on this very fact. "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and then he became a living person. In the Garden of Eden, God came and he formed out of the very soil man. He called that first man Adam. But you see, Adam was perfectly formed, but he had no life. Adam had it all together. All those fingers, all those toes, the ears and the nose and the mouth and everything that is distinct about humankind. God had put it all together. And yet Adam wasn't going anywhere. God hadn't breathed the breath of life into him. You can spend all your time and energy and working on your health. You can build bigger muscle. You can tone up. You can spend time and energy enhancing your natural beauty with costly treatments and still not really have the life that God intended for you. Yeah, sure, you can spend all your energy on getting it together. You can spend lots of effort perfecting that image. And yet, without God, you've still not gone anywhere of eternal value. You see, it wasn't until God's Spirit breathed into him that Adam began to live. When God created mankind, he started by forming Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life. So then man became a living being. The Hebrew word used here for breath is ruach. Ruach is the same Hebrew word for spirit. So when God's Spirit came into Adam, he began to live. The ruach of God brought physical life to humanity, formed from the dust of the ground. And we will see later that the same ruach, the same breath of God, the Spirit of God, the life-giving Spirit, can bring spiritual life to churches and individuals, though they may feel that they are dry, just like the dust of the ground that Adam was formed from. It was only after God Almighty graciously breathed life into Adam that he got up, experienced the wonder of human life, and he started walking with God, talking with God, experiencing God's holy presence. And then he started fulfilling the purpose of God in his life. And you say, hey, I need what God breathed into Adam that day. And I would say to you, yes, you do need it. And the good news is, you can have what God breathed into Adam there in creation. But first, let's go back to Ezekiel's valley of dry bones. The dry bones represented Israel, God's special chosen people. Yes, they were going about their spiritual lives, their natural lives, and to the other nations, they seemed to have it together. They seemed to be alive and functioning. But in a vision, the prophet Ezekiel saw God's different perspective on Israel. And God's perspective was this: they were far from him. Yes, they had a form of religious service. They had sacrifices. They had different things that they had to do to come before the presence of God. And they functioned in that, and they went through the ritual of that. And yet they were totally spiritually dead. I want you to note that the vision wasn't of dead people with decaying flesh, corpses, but the vision was of dry bones. The fact that they were no longer corpses, but merely dry bones, suggests that they had been in this spiritual condition of dryness for a long time. Israel to God were like the dry bones. They were dead and not going anywhere. Be honest with yourself. Does this possibly describe your life right now? I wonder, how long do you want to be feeling like dry bones? Things may look and feel bad, but there's good news. But before I give you the good news, let me explain something that may help you understand why we need the breath of and life of God to come into us. It's this: the truth of the matter is that when God created us, he created us as tripartite beings, meaning that we're made up of three different kind of dimensions. Firstly, we have a body. That's our flesh. That's what we can feel and sense with our hands and our senses. We have a body. We have muscle. We have toes. We have ears. We have eyes to see. We have a body. It's our flesh. And then secondly, we have a soul. That's our mind, it's our thinking, it's our intellect, it's what kind of goes on whirring in our brain, making us think about things and do things. And so we are body, we are soul, and thirdly, we are spirit. We have a spirit. What is spirit? It seems to be different from the mind. Yes, it is. The mind thinks about things, but the spirit is something that you cannot see like the mind, but it's our God consciousness. Now, we were created to operate on all three functions. However, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, when they rebelled against God's instructions, and basically the Bible says that behavior is sin, it's rebellion against God. When they sinned in the garden by rebelling against God's instructions, doing life their way, not God's way, suddenly sin brought death to their spirit. They were banished from the garden. It was the big separation from God. And that's the problem with sin, with our rebellion against God, with the attitude like, God doesn't exist, I'll please myself, thank you. That sin causes us to be separated from the one that loves us and created us. And ever since the fall, Adam and Eve in the garden, rebelling against God, and sin entering into their lives and causing them to suffer the banishment from God's holy presence, mankind has tried to reach out and to reconnect to God. We've tried it through religion and good works and our own sense of morality and righteousness. But these things don't connect man to God. These things can leave us feeling dry and unsatisfied. We instinctively know there is more to life, but we just can't seem to find it. If that describes your life right now, there's good news. Because Jesus, the Son of God, said, I am the way, the truth and the life. I am the only way to God the Father. Unless you put your faith in me and come through me to the Heavenly Father, you'll never have that relationship with God that you're seeking. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, is the breath of God who wants to give life to our spirit right now. Now, in Ezekiel's vision, when God breathed into those lifeless, dry bones, a mighty miracle happened. The dry bones suddenly came together. They came to life, and muscle and flesh and form came to those bones, and they stood up, and suddenly the dry bones had been transformed from deadness to life. They became a great army. In other words, their new life counted for something special in God's divine purposes. In Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 5, God says, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. Do you want to live again? Do you want to be able to get up and leave that valley of dry bones? Well, you can literally be born again. God can cause you to have a brand new start in life. You say, well, I've done all these things that are wrong, and I feel guilty and shameful, and my life seems so wrecked by the bad choices I've made and the consequences they brought into my life. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. What matters is that you can be forgiven and start a new life in Jesus. You see, when you come to God in repentance, that's turning away from the things you know to be wrong and having a sorrow in your heart that you did those things and a commitment that you're not going to do them again. When you come in repentance and faith, God will breathe into you life through his Son, Jesus, the Saviour of the world. Now note, the Spirit of God came from the four winds of the four corners of the earth. That means there's no place where his Spirit can't reach you. You may be listening to this podcast on some desert island beach You might be listening to this podcast in a desert place. You might be listening to this podcast in a busy city or maybe a quiet little town. But it doesn't matter where you are, because God's Spirit can come from the four corners of the earth and He can reach you. He can bless you. He can do for you what no one else can do. He can breathe life into you. However, just as the wind comes, you have to also be open for the blessing of God. You need to receive the life of God, the breath of God into your life. And when the Spirit of God came into Ezekiel's valley, broken things were mended and dead things came back to life. And God wants to do the same for you. God is for you. He's not against you. Sure, He hates the wrong things you do, your sin and your rebellion. He's not pleased about that, but He loves you. He sent His Son, Jesus, to die for you. And Jesus was broken, literally, upon that Roman cross 2,000 years ago, so that you could be healed and restored. Your life put back together again, and so much more. Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life." And Jesus comes to our valley of dry bones and He says, if you will receive me, I will give you life. If you will put your trust in me, if you put your faith in me, I will give you life. I will breathe life into you. And all we need to do is to come to Him in faith. All we need to do is to say, that's it. I'm not living without God any longer. I'm not living to please myself any longer. But now I'm putting God first in my life. I'm putting my trust in God's Son, Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the world. And I'm going to receive the breath of life from Him. And if you do that, then your life can be totally changed. Will you receive the breath of life? Remember, in the garden, way back at the beginning of creation, Adam was perfectly formed, but he had no life. And you might say, well, my life, my existence is pretty good. But without the breath of life, you're not really living. And you might say, well, I've got it all together, just like Adam had it all together. And yet he wasn't going anywhere without the breath of life. The Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground, and He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Sure, your body might be working, that's your flesh. Sure, your soul, that's your mind, might be operating and thinking all sorts of things. And you might be living on those two levels. But there's a third level, your spirit, your God consciousness, that it's dead because of living without God. And yet, if we put our trust in Jesus, our spirit can come alive. And we can have a new sense of the wonder of the friendship of God in our lives. We can have a new understanding that God has for us so many blessings through His Son, the Lord Jesus. It's your choice. It's always man's choice. God doesn't breathe into people that don't want Him. But if you're hungry for God, and if you're feeling in your heart of hearts that you need your spirit to come alive, don't trust in church services. Don't trust in giving money to the poor. Don't trust in reading a whole load of books or becoming religious. Because all those things, and some of them hold good values, they won't give you life. They won't give you the opportunity to know God as a friend. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life." Let Him breathe the breath of life into you. Receive that breath by faith and be saved. May God bless you. And I pray that we might see you soon at Millpool Hill Church, Birmingham. God bless you.